So I was wondering if you could just kind of go back to like 2001 when the law was passed that allowed Indianapolis's mayor to become the first in the country to authorize charter schools. Like kind of what was going on at that time and why would you want to have that kind of power back then?
You know, back in the late 90s and, you know, as the new millennium started, we had a lot of polarization in Indianapolis around public education, and I believed that charter schools would be a vehicle for really pulling people together. Public schools that also had the autonomy from the school district to be more creative, more customized, and it seemed like a good solution, and there had been a good track record of charter schools in other states. And so I was a big supporter while I was campaigning for mayor of a new charter school law. It actually did not occur to me at that time that I might someday have the authority to actually grant charters to charter schools. Senator Teresa Lubbers is the one who came up with that idea, and we ultimately embraced it, and it resulted in the creation of the first, or at least sort of simultaneously with Ball State, the first charter authorizing offices in the state of Indiana. And that really put the mayor of Indianapolis at the table in education to have the authority to actually support the creation of new schools, put the mayor in a different, me as the mayor at that time and subsequent mayors, in the position of being at the table in a similar situation to the superintendents of the school districts. And I think that's made all the difference.
Is there anything that did not work that you think people have kind of figured out over the years that they aren't doing now? I mean, it seems like a lot of schools aren't looking to go out and get a loan and build a building as much as maybe we saw that.
Sure, I think some schools or networks grew too fast. Some took on more debt than they were able to handle. There are some types of education. Certainly adult education, dropout recovery schools are really difficult. And you know, that's a very tough form of education, but we're now seeing it succeed. Crystal House does it. Goodwill does it with its Excel Center. So we've got a lot of, you know, we've got some successful models out there, but that's a challenging form of education. A tremendous amount has been learned here in Indianapolis. But again, I think the real key is we want to learn the good lessons, and certainly we want to learn from failure as well. Failure is often a better teacher than success is in what to do differently. But we really do want a variety of schools, and I think we've achieved that here in Indianapolis. That's one of the most exciting things to me, is to see that there really are a lot of choices out there right now for parents and for the students who these schools are set up to serve.
Right now, there's at least three organizers seeking to open 9 to 12 high schools in the next year. There's currently new high schools opening up this year. You have Manual and Howell, which could become charters and seek to increase enrollment. I guess at what point does there become too much choice?
Well, I think it's really important for the authorizers, the mayor's charter school board, and the other authorizers to really keep an eye on that. If there is probably such a thing as too many seats, particularly to maintain high quality. And we have seen some charter schools who have gone out of business. They couldn't fill their seats. Now, you know, again, in each case is different. So some might be that in some cases that they just weren't delivering or didn't operate as effectively as they could and therefore had to cut back. But I think, you know, as long as we keep the emphasis on quality, and as long as a school operator can make the case that there is a demand for their school, they plausibly believe that there's a demand and can convince the board that there's a demand, we've got to keep opening schools, because there are still a lot of kids in this city who are not getting a high-quality education, and we want to ensure that they have that opportunities.
At what point did you, I guess, realize that mind trust needed to exist? You know, because there are some people that say, you know, you have too much sway, too much power with IPS. They need to be doing this themselves independently. Why does a mind trust have to be here to kind of offer either alternative or offer help or funding?
Yeah, I can tell you back at the beginning what the impetus for creating the mind trust was all about: talent and leadership. We got over 30 applications for the first round of charter schools to be authorized by the mayor's office. Most of them weren't so good. Through a very, very rigorous process, we ended up approving 3 schools that first round, and ultimately 17 schools in the remaining years that I was mayor. But it became apparent to us after just a couple of years that we just didn't have the depth of talent in Indianapolis, or at least it wasn't ready, that talent wasn't mature enough to be able to take on and run a school. It's extremely difficult to do. And the Mind Trust was born out of the idea that we wanted to train and support people to become those kinds of leaders, people from Indianapolis, people from outside of Indianapolis. We wanted to encourage them to come here.
And so right now, I think 61% of IPS schools based last year's ADF grades are D or F. What role does you think the mayor's office have to change that, the Mind Trust? I mean, whose role is that to kind of say, we have ideas, we have different ways of helping these schools? Who should be doing that? Is it just the district?
Well, I think every organization in this city has an obligation to and a duty to consider students and the quality of education, all students in Marion County, and the quality of education that they're receiving. And so the work of the Mind Trust is focused on those kids, just as IPS's work is focused on those kids, and just as the work of many other schools is.
Charter schools have been more in the media more than ever, I think. We had the teacher strikes in L.A. that kind of led to a moratorium on charters in L.A. I think it happened in Oakland. The New York City mayor has said he may do a moratorium. Possible presidential candidates kind of questioning charter schools. Here in Indiana, the legislature has been very supportive of school choice, school reform here. Do you foresee, I guess, any of those changes, those kinds of traditional public school concerns having an impact here as we're seeing in other states?
Well, I think we'd be foolish to assume that just because we've had a good policy environment in Indiana that couldn't change. So I think we have to be very, very diligent. We see the demand for the schools is not slackened, quite the contrary. But the political environment and the political rhetoric certainly has changed, and it's gotten more difficult over the last few months nationally. But we're going to keep. You know, we've just got to keep telling our story. We've got to get out there and you know, continue to help mobilize the parents who are making these choices and who want these choices and who demand the highest quality of education for their kids. I read quotes from people who literally just want to go backwards. They want to make charter schools disappear, and I can't think of anything that would be worse for the school children of America and of Indiana than if that happened.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.